I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Okay, this sounds like it should be good news. The United Nations passed a historic treaty on Friday. It bans the development and use of nuclear weapons, and more than 120 nations say they'll adopt it. Now, the bad news for the treaty: none of the 9 countries that actually have nuclear weapons support the agreement. Still, activists who helped negotiate it say this is a good first step towards disarmament. Ray Acheson is one of them. She's with the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
The real work on this has started probably since 2010, when states started really wanting to examine again the humanitarian impact that nuclear weapons have on human beings and on the environment, because that was a narrative that we had in the 1980s. But with the end of the Cold War, that was really lost. And people assumed that the United States and the Soviet Union would disarm, attain peace, and that nuclear weapons were a relic of the past. When in fact, what we've seen over the last more than a decade is massive reinvestment by the United States, Russia, all states that possess nuclear weapons, investing billions of dollars into their modernization and the extension of these weapons into the indefinite future.
Right. I mean, the 9 countries that have nuclear weapons, none of them were part of the treaty negotiations or the vote. Does this render the treaty moot in a way?
Not at all, because the situation that we have is that these 9 countries are refusing to comply with their international obligations to disarm. The 5 permanent members of the Security Council, which have nuclear weapons, the United States, Russia, China, France, and the United Kingdom, are all bound by the Non-Proliferation Treaty to actually achieve disarmament and to work with each other to get rid of their nuclear arsenals. But they haven't done that, and they've had since 1970 to do that. And this treaty was really an initiative from states that don't have nuclear weapons and that have rejected nuclear weapons as a potential source of security to do something about this situation.
Yeah, so is it kind of that lateral way of approaching the whole topic of nuclear weapons that it's your hope that will get countries like the U.S. on board? Or can you find some other way to get, you know, those countries on board?
I think there's a lot of different ways that we could achieve nuclear disarmament. But in the current context, this has been the best route that we have at our disposal. Developing norms through law has been extremely successful in changing the way that states have thought about and engaged with cluster munitions and landmines, for example. Even countries that haven't ratified those treaties, like the United States, are still complying with most aspects of those agreements. And so we're hoping that it is sort of this indirect route that we build up a culture against nuclear weapons that we can actually have an impact on them in the future.
The U.S. defends its nuclear arsenal on grounds that it has to protect itself from states like North Korea. Having arms prevents other countries from attacking. How do you respond to critics who say disarmament is misguided because it might put the U.S. and other countries in danger?
I think that it's a misconception about nuclear deterrence that has been deliberately built up in our culture since the end of the Cold War, when they decided that they wanted to retain some of these weapons and continue to hold each other under threat, and the entire world under threat. And so we're living under this threat with the assumption that the sole purpose of these weapons is never to be used. But we know a lot about human error and human misjudgment and mistakes, and I don't think that we can count on that holding out forever. And I also think that this idea that nuclear weapons prevent other countries from developing them, well, if we say that they are necessary for our security, we're also giving the message to other countries that they're necessary for their security as well. So we're actually risking further proliferation by holding onto this narrative.
The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists and their Doomsday Clock, they moved it to 2.5 minutes to midnight in January, kind of based on Donald Trump's comments and rhetoric. That clock kind of suggests how close the world might be to nuclear destruction. Assume these 9 countries with nukes join the treaty. Where would you put the clock right now?
I would set it back considerably, because this treaty actually sets out an extremely careful plan for how they can engage in disarmament. So I would set the clock back quite far. I think we'd be on the road to abolition right now if they were joining.
Ray Acheson with the Disarmament Program at the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.